Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today. Welcome to New Life Live with Steve Arterburn and co-hosts Dr. Henry Cloud, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Joel Hubbard, Mylon Yurkovich, and Dr. Sherry Keffer. New Life Live is dedicated to bringing you hope and help through practical and biblical solutions for daily living. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word for genuine spiritual healing. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now, here's Steve Arterburn.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live, February 22nd here. Time keeps on slipping away. We're getting close to the Women in the Battle workshop, and some people, maybe you've listened. I hear this all the time. People say, well, I listen, and then finally something was said, and it made me understand I needed to go to that. So, Sherry, why don't you talk about Women in the Battle? What is the real purpose of it? Who needs to be there?
Well, I love when we last worked together, we had a caller that said she had a 180-degree turn after she went. This conference, Women in the Battle, is actually not about your husbands or the ones that betrayed you. It's actually for you in order to help you heal and get out of the crazy zone that sexual deception brings into your life. So a lot of wives ask me, you know, they say, well, why should I go? It's his problem. I don't need to go to something. And I just ask a few questions. I say, well, do you know what's going on at home? Do you know what's happening? Well, not really. Well, how do you feel your kids are safe? Well, not really. Well, do you have a plan for what you need to do about it to turn it around? No, I don't. I said, mm-hmm. That's exactly why you need to come. Mm-hmm. We want to talk about those topics. We want to give you a plan and then offer you some hope. Shelley Martinkus, who's married to Jason, he's the guy that does Every Man's Battle, she's there and she's able to bring in her testimony of what's happened in their marriage to turn things around. So we want to offer hope to you. We want to help you get some traction. And whether or not you end up staying married, we want your life not to be a casualty because of the trauma that mm-hmm. happens in betrayal. So it's for every woman, whether you're married, single, or separated.
Yeah. I'm going to make a glittering generality here, something I learned not to do in 11th grade literature.
What's that?
So it's a glittering generality, which is all people who are married to people that have addictions, they are sucked into a vortex and they can't see straight.
That's true.
And so your Women in the Battle workshop, specifically that one, is to help women be able to see more clearly and to ask all those questions, answer all those questions you posed.
Yeah, and I went through it myself. I was in denial for about 4 years.
We don't
at
see
the beginning
clearly.
I didn't.
We're sucked into a vortex.
I was wishing, hoping, wanting something to change. I thought if I was just sexier, if I could just be a good enough wife, that things would turn around. But it didn't. Mm. And so I want to make sure that they have a different start on this. So come.
If you have a thought that maybe you've been waiting for God to do what God has been waiting for you to do, maybe you ought to pick up the phone and call us and let us help you and get through this. You know, Trish did. She said, before I went, I was alone in my pain. I was angry at God for not protecting me or punishing the hypocritical false Christians in my life, my ex and his family. I'm tired of people telling me what I should feel or how I should move on. See, isn't that how you feel? Well, this workshop opened my eyes to so many other women struggling that are in pain for the same reason. It was encouraging that others have survived and healed by using support and having faith. Now I have an awareness that I have suffered a major trauma. I have validation that my feelings are normal and a willingness to let God back in a bigger way and ask Him to help me to heal. For any woman in my position, I would tell them, come to this workshop. You'll receive help from professionals who are well-versed on the issues surrounding the trauma of infidelity and pornography. Now, call us if you need us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
Sometimes wives feel guilty when they think about investing in themselves. Sometimes the women are like, gosh, it just isn't practical, or doesn't make sense, or it costs too much. And I'm like, look at the cost you've had to carry and what you've lived with for all these years. You're worth getting that self-care.
It's an eye-opener to me because it made me to understand what sexual addiction really is.
I had no motivation, no joy, and no insight.
The Women in the Battle Workshop is designed for women dealing with a man's sexual addiction issues. Join Dr. Sherry Keffer November 13th through the 15th in Washington, D.C. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to register or to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
I will continue to break down doors and blow up walls that get in the way of this healing process. If God is for you, who could be against you?
1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
All right. We are absolutely 100%. Live and learn. We're just talking about the people that need to live and learn, like we do. We're all living and learning. Maybe not as quick as we are, but right now, I want to give some help to somebody. Let's go over here to how about Dana from Washington, D.C., listening on WAVA. Hello, Dana. How are you? And Jessica, I'm coming to you next. Hi, Dana.
Hello, how are you? Thank you, counselors, for taking my call.
You are welcome.
How can we help?
Can you all hear me clearly?
You bet.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I guess I'll start with my question. How can I get my husband to stop ignoring me?
Mm.
Well, it's extremely, extremely hurtful.
Well, and tell us what's going on there.
Well, I wish I could give you my whole life story, but I can't. I'll try to sum it up starting from the last 8 months. So we've been separated about 8 to 9 months now, basically the end of last May. And we've always had a history of not being able to handle our adversities in our marriage very well.
Okay.
Actually, very meanly. Almost like enemies. And it's been very hurtful in our marriage and our relationship. You know, it's one of those things, when you're good, you're good. And when you're not, you're not.
Mm-hmm.
And along the way, we've had two kids. Right now, our daughter is now 18 in college. And our son is 12, and he's in the 7th grade. Two wonderful kids, two God-loving kids. But, you know, I think their hope for their parents is, why can't they seem to get along? And so just to bring you up into the 8 months ago, there's been a history of abandonment. Whenever we have had issues, you know, he's abandoned us. And that's my take on it, because we don't hear from him. We don't know where he's at.
So he's not living with you right now?
He is not living with me right now. We are separate.
Okay.
Correct.
Well, look, we can't tell you how to get him to respond to you. But we can tell you what to do in the meantime, rather than beat your head up against the wall trying to get an irresponsible man who doesn't meet the needs of his family and is not a very good provider for his family. Now, first thing is, you have to get help for your children. That's something. Somehow they need another male influence in their life. They need somebody that can give them some guidance and consistency, and you need to get some help as a day-by-day, play-by-play helper, a partner, a sponsor, along with some counseling, so that you don't lose your life and let him take it from you with his in and out at whatever whim causes him to want to abandon you. Let's hear from Mylon and Sherry about what they think would be helpful. I just don't want you obsessing over something that you can't control versus working to heal those children.
So I have one comment and one question. So I don't see it as he's ignoring you, Dana. Mm-hmm. I see it as he's running away from home.
Mm-hmm.
I agree, because he's gotten to the point where, and the reason why I say ignoring is because there has been attempts where we did try to speak, but unfortunately there was an incident that happened to my daughter and I, where we, you know, went through a, you know how you go off to college and you think you're grown, one of those types.
Mm-hmm.
So my thing is where I get the ignoring part of that is that it's been the I miss you, I love you.
I get it.
You don't talk to me.
The first thing I wonder is where is it unsafe in your home? Who's the angry one in the relationship?
I think we both are. I think I'm angry. I think we both are.
So who shows more anger? Who yells? Who gets upset? Oh.
I think his anger is stronger because it's relentless. He takes it to a level where it's like, does it have to go that far?
Okay, so what are you talking? Rage, or are you talking silent
rage,
but deadly
rage.
Anger? So rage, he yells rage. And screams.
Yes.
Okay, and then what does your anger look like?
My anger is, what does Dana's anger look like? Dana's angers look like disappointment, frustration. And then, why can't you understand me? Why can't you do what you're supposed to do?
So more discounting him, maybe. I mean, that's a strong word.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Kind of like he would probably say about you, he'd say, I can never do it right. I can never do enough. I can never make you happy.
Correct.
Okay.
So you're the critical one then?
Correct.
Okay.
So we have some... Thank you. Well, that helps us, right? It helps us.
Honest.
No, thank you.
Thank you.
It's hard.
I'm sorry. Can I share? I'm sorry.
No, we appreciate your honesty, Dana, because it really helps us get a snapshot of what's going on that's causing him to run away from home and causing you to be frustrated with not having a healthy partnership. We just happen
to have... We don't function here.
Yeah, we happen to have the expert, Mylan, who wrote the book How We Love. I don't know if you've read that book, but
have you read it?
I have not.
Okay, we're going to get that for you, but
yeah.
Mylan, give her some insight from that book.
Well, what happens is, Dana, is that all couples have propensities toward places where we're broken and where we don't relate well. We react instead of relate. And in these reactive patterns, what happens is that it starts a core pattern that could be a nasty thing. And you've experienced that. I think one of the things that, and I don't know what started what, who started first, but if a husband always feels as though he can never do things good enough, fast enough, soon enough, quick enough, or if he's always having his flaws pointed out, he's just not going to want to come home. Now, On the other side of the coin, criticism is deserved if he is behaving poorly and putting your family at risk.
Well, wait a second. She said, she's saying he's an alcoholic.
Well, that's
is he an
just
alcoholic?
The point. That's just the point I'm making here.
So we got to deal with the alcoholism.
Correct.
And
he's been trying to deal with it for years.
Okay.
Right.
But you have to be the one to deal with it. Isn't that crazy? You have to be the one to go to Al-Anon, to get help for yourself, to not enable, to not do all the things that just don't help at all if you want him to respond in a different way. And you talk about angry children. They're not angry at dad. They're angry at you. Because they expect you to do whatever it takes to help the dad who's caught up in the addiction. They get it that he's not going to wake up one morning and go, hey, I think I'm just going to give up this addiction that I've had for all these years. So you've got to start going to Al-Anon meetings and life recovery meetings and being with other people who can give you some support and courage and insight. So you're not enabling evil.
And let me
I agree. Let me bring in one more point,
Dana, just quickly. So from a brain perspective, I have seen brains under the influence of alcohol. And guess what two parts of the brain alcohol impacts the most?
Emotions.
Well, it would make them more emotional. It impacts the one-third of their brain. Their prefrontal cortex is the boss of the brain, which actually is responsible for impulse control. So if that part of the brain is shut down, guess what? He's going to be more impulsive. And then it also impacts these two little parts of the brain called the temporal lobes. It's like Roto-Rooter. They, like, disintegrate. And basically what happens is when somebody doesn't have those intact, they become aggressive. So Steve is right. Until he gets into treatment, he is going to be rageful, mm-hmm. aggressive, and impulsive. That's the problem.
He sees nothing wrong with drinking. Nothing.
Well, that's okay. I know, but that's all irrelevant now. You're saying he's an alcoholic, and you've never really done anything to help you so that you can help him, and that's really your responsibility. That's the, you know, it's the hand you've been dealt. That's the one you got to play. Is that you're married to an alcoholic, and you're called to do what you can do. You're not responsible for his addiction or his drinking. But you certainly need to do. It's just like when a woman is married to a sex addict. She picks up the phone and calls Every Man's Battle. 75% of the time, that's how a guy comes to Every Man's Battle. She doesn't sit around and pray for God to give him the phone number or wait for. No, she does what she can do. And then she says, I talk with these people. I want you to talk with them. If you want our marriage to go forward, you go. Now you need to get him into treatment. You need to find the people that can help you do that.
And I can do that, but we haven't. But the other issue is that now he wants a divorce. And I asked him, well, why do you want to divorce me? And his reasons are, we don't talk, we don't get along, and I don't want to be married to you anymore.
Okay, but so, you call, here's a guy who's an alcoholic, and he wants to divorce you, and you call saying, how do I get my husband to pay attention to me?
Because now he doesn't want to talk to me anymore.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, he's totally tuned out to me. He doesn't accept any texts, calls.
I get it. But Dana, I want you to hear Steve. If you do not get assistance for him and get him into treatment, your 12-year-old is going to be spending weekends with an alcoholic. Now that should wake you up. There should be no but behind getting him into treatment. Your son needs to be protected from a dad who's
correct.
Offline, okay? So
right,
please,
listen.
Listen to Steve. Today,
well,
get into Al-Anon.
We're going to get you some help.
Good.
And so hold on. We'll get that for you. And I'm not being down on her. I'm just helping her to see that these things get so down the road, so severe, because we don't do what we can do. We can't do everything. And sometimes we hear the messages of other people saying, well, you know, he has to be the one to want to get help. You know what? Don't listen to anything like that. Just call somebody and get help. They'll help you. Don't listen to a wives' tale, a home remedy. Yeah, he needs to get help. But it's like they say, well, you can't lead a horse to water. I mean, you can lead him to water, but you can't make him drink. Well, you know what? You can tell him where the water hole is, and you can really make him thirsty also. Versus just say, well, you know, he's got to wander out there in the wilderness till he lands on the water hole. I don't want to do any more analogies. I just want to go to the next caller. I want to help people. And you can get help. You need to help folks that are trapped in the addiction. And I know it's tough because you have every right to resent and be bitter about the whole thing. But right now, let's go to Jessica. I said we'd go to Jessica, and we're going to Jessica. Hello, Jessica. How are you?
Hello. I'm so thankful for your wisdom.
You're welcome.
I'm hoping to benefit from it.
Yeah. Okay. How can we help?
My question in a nutshell is, how can I protect my children from being hurt by their father's passive-aggressive tendencies?
What does he do that would be called passive and at the same time aggressive?
Well, the passive-aggressive personality disorder, if there were a checklist, he would fill every box under it.
Well, just tell me a couple of things he does. Tell me a couple of them.
In light of what I'm calling about, he will make promises to them, and then when it's time to fulfill the promise, he will claim that he never made the promise in the first place.
That is not passive-aggressive. That is lying.
Every other.
That is lying to his children.
Well,
that is deceiving
his
children.
Oh, that is
children.
Lying, yes.
And it's deceiving his children. The passive-aggressive would more likely, in that instance, would be more likely, hey, yeah, we're going to do that with no intention of ever doing that because he knows it makes you so angry.
Exactly.
So what else does he do that's passive-aggressive?
Oh, do we have 3 hours?
Well, can you just tell me one thing that really hurt you or the kids?
Just the subtle jabs. Withholding affection.
Okay, all right.
Come sail with New Life Ministries in Alaska, July 13th through the 20th.
I went on my own. Had never done a trip by myself before, so I was apprehensive. So if you think, oh, I don't have anybody that would want to go with me on this, trust me, you are going to find plenty of friends when you get there.
We'll depart on the Island Princess southbound from Anchorage, cruising by Hubbard Glacier to Glacier Bay National Park, and then stopping in Skagway, Juneau, Ketchikan, and ending in Vancouver.
I connected with God in a way that I had never imagined.
We'll start each morning with devotions, then we'll explore each port, returning in the evening for fellowship and teaching from God's Word.
The teaching, every day, just getting together with everyone, getting to know everybody in the group. The whale watching was amazing. Kayaking, zip lining, so many fun times and memories I have.
To register or to find out more, call 888-770-6898, extension 103, or go to newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Okay, now, we're talking with Jessica, passive-aggressive husband. How could we help you, Jessica? He withdraws, he kind of acts in. What could we do to help you? What's the question?
What answer do I give my children when they are left with a broken heart from his broken promises?
Okay, what have you been telling them?
This is going to sound awful, but they're old enough to see that they are being lied to. And when they're left with broken hearts and disappointment, I just say, honey, has Daddy ever done anything that he said he would do? That's awful, isn't it? I don't know what other answer to give.
Well, it's not as bad as saying it's your problem, not his. But I think, you know, it is more important maybe to point out to them that your father has a problem and that he needs to work on that problem, and you are trying to help him see the need to work on that problem, and that you realize how painful that is when his problem hurts them.
So just
rather than you know kind of do the snide kind of thing there.
So Jessica, I'm going to walk out on thin ice a little bit here with you.
Oh, I was just getting ready to do that too.
You were?
Yes, I was going to get on thin ice. So what thin ice did you want to go out onto?
I care for her. I really, Jessica, there's something curious to me about your call already. I'm wondering how powerless you feel in this relationship with your husband. And I'm wondering the level of pain, because you're laughing about something that really isn't a laughing matter.
Yes.
And sometimes when people are feeling really powerless and helpless in their marriage, just the fact that you're calling us finding out what to do with your kids, you know, is another, it tells me that you're trying to jockey for some kind of position and power because you're feeling so disheartened in this pattern.
This has been a 10-year marriage and a 10-year uphill climb. And it's been through your program and your counseling that I have even come to the place where I am. But for years I've dealt with gaslighting. Am I going crazy?
But that's not passive aggressive. See, that's
no,
not.
He is.
That's not passive aggressive to me. What you might be doing might be passive aggressive instead of confronting it head on. That sounds like a controller. That sounds like somebody who's really trying to control you and manipulate you. That's scary. Passive aggressive behaviors happen when somebody feels powerless and helpless and they don't know how to use their adult voice to get what they need. Mylan and I did a show on passive aggressiveness. We've done one on how to find an adult voice. But what I'm hearing from you feels more like you're feeling helpless to know what to do with somebody who is manipulating and lying and deceiving, and that's much bigger. What are your thoughts, Mylan? You said you were...
Well, Jessica, part of providing an answer to your children is even to bring yourself into the equation. And if I were to ask you, Jessica, what is your part in the decline of this 10-year marriage? Your part, what would you say?
I've just been trying to find healing for 10 years.
So then, what does that mean? You're the victim in this? You don't have a part in the destruction of the relationship?
I think that perhaps I have enabled for quite a while, but when I came to the realization of what it was I was fighting, the Lord has helped me to find answers, and He's given me strength, and I'm just coping. Every day I cope the best I can.
So coping, again, I'm going to walk into the laughter. There is something that feels like, when somebody laughs like you do, Jessica, I often tell them, if I could sit with you in private, you'd cry a thousand tears behind those laughs. Like, it's that painful for you. But it's not integrated. It's not lined up. It's something, I'm like, emotionally, something feels a little sideways. It's like I feel like you're disconnected from and coping with something that is bigger than life that you don't know how to get your arms around.
I think that there's no hope outside of the Lord, so I just hope to survive
well,
day to
so,
day.
So I don't think we would agree with that statement, or at least I wouldn't, that there's no hope outside of the Lord, because there's that laugh again, which is that... There is prayer and hope in the Lord, but then there must be action on our part. God calls us to action. I would ask your husband a question. I would say, do you think that you are changing your promises to the kids? And do you think it's because you're treating the kids this way because you're angry at me? Earlier you said he won't show affection and different things like that. So I would want to know, and I would want to ask him how he feels about you and what the two of you can do to show more of a solidarity in front of the children But how much of what he's doing to the children is maybe a payback or a punishment for you? And that would be a question I would want to know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, I'd be signing up for every parenting workshop. I'd be inviting him to every parenting workshop. But before that, I think you might need an intervention. I'll talk about that.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I was working at a Christian school for 19 years, and somebody saw something on my computer. It was a battle that I'd had all my life.
Every day, men struggle with sexual integrity. Impure thoughts, strip clubs, pornography.
I believed that I could do it on my own. I just believed if I tried hard enough and pulled myself up hard enough by my bootstraps, I could do it. I had to get help.
Find hope today at New Life's Every Man's Battle Workshop.
I heard about Every Man's Battle. I'd read the book, but I decided I'm going to look up that 800 number, and I called. I said, if I can get on a plane, can I come? That afternoon, I was on an airplane.
To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or log on to newlife.com.
Hearing that I needed to be in community was very helpful, but probably the single most helpful thing was to realize that I wasn't the weirdest guy on the planet, and it was just life-changing.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. All right. So Dr. Keffer has some insight here.
Steve, you mentioned an intervention. So let me just give you one thought here, Jessica. So my gut, my hunches, my wonderings about you are, is that you grew up possibly in a home where there was a controller or somebody who was abusive. And you learned early on that that you can't hold your own power. You didn't know how to hold your own power because you were in a situation that was powerless. So I feel like you're advocating for your kids kind of like a way you wish somebody would have advocated for you. There's this like little girl part of you that I want to wrap my arms around, and I want to help grow her up so that she feels more powerful to deal with her husband who is psychologically abusing her at some level. Does any of that make sense?
It does. I think I just strive to be a good wife. And in the beginning of our marriage, I just wanted to do everything perfect, everything to please him.
I know.
The hurt was when it didn't work.
Yeah, I know. You sound like a pleaser to me in the book How We Love, and he sounds like a controller. But you're going to have to get into your own treatment. So one thing I want to do is I want to have you today. Do not wait. I want you to get into your own therapy. I want you to get with someone who really understands trauma, and I want you to get with someone, one of our New Life counselors, that can help validate you in kind of the craziness that comes with gaslighting and help you to mature to a place where you can ask for what you want and need. Steve, I don't want you not to get your own help because this is bigger than you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And Mylon, you have some thoughts about, you know, how she might be able to intervene here and stop the whole pattern. Is it her just getting into counseling with somebody that understands the situation? Is it understanding attachment styles? Where would you take her?
Well, Jessica, thank you for explaining what you just did. You said you walked into the marriage and you had a desire to please. and then it wasn't received well and you were hurt. And that tells me a part of the core pattern. Core patterns are very destructive. And I can appreciate why you would think you would want to please, but that's not the goal of marriage. The goal of marriage is to be honest, real, authentic, and vulnerable, not necessarily to please. Pleasing is appropriate only sometimes, and it's not appropriate all the time. And I have a feeling as though you were taken advantage of, you weren't respected, you were overpowered.
Yep.
He didn't feel enough strong sense of self, which is what you were saying earlier, the powerlessness.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and then pleasers think, well, I'm just being this nice person. What's wrong with me? And mm-hmm. and that's then the fallback position. So to answer Steve's question is, I would read our book, How We Love. I'd read The Pleaser. I'd read the other attachment styles for, and I'd start doing work on the pleaser portion. And then I'd have my husband read the part of, that you think might apply to him. And just say, you know, there's some things in here that tell us how we could turn our relationship around. Would you like to get into some counseling with me and learn to do that? Are you actually divorced? Are you separated? What's the status?
No, we are visibly happily married.
Visibly happily married?
Hmm.
And you live in the same house?
Yes.
Wow. Well, it's too
rough.
Bad that the kids and you are triangulated against Dad. Because, you know, they need to ask him, why doesn't Dad fulfill his promises? They're 8 and 6. If you always have to be the advocate in between, then that's not a good thing.
But here is where I protect them, because then he would get very angry if they ever confronted him on that.
Well, they're going to have to...
And I hate to see my children hurt again.
Well, would he abuse them and physically hurt them?
No.
Okay.
No, passive aggressive. He would take it out on me.
Well, that's not passive aggressive.
That's controlling.
That's displaced aggression.
Yep.
What's going to have to happen here is that you're overly protecting the kids. They have to say, Dad, I thought we were going to go out tonight.
Mm-hmm.
They have to learn to have an adult voice. Otherwise, they'll never grow up with one. If he harms them in any way, you call the police and Child Protective Services.
One of the dilemmas about you taking on a more childish role with your children is that you don't realize how much intellect, power, reasoning ability, how much they're able to understand. And so an 8-year-old can say to a father, Dad, you told me we were going to the movie. I'm ready to go to the movie. Dad says, mm-hmm. I didn't say that. The 8-year-old can
exactly.
say, Dad, you did. And then that's when you say, yes, honey, you did. So why don't you guys go see the new movie over there since you told him that you'd take him? So now you're working with the children to affirm that they have some strength, they have their own voice, and you're not sitting back letting him try to deceive them anymore. Because that falls on you if you don't speak up when he reneges or when he tries to make the children, he's gaslighting the children when he says, I never said I was going to take you to the movie. So don't let that happen. But you're going to need to get some very extensive counseling for yourself, heal some wounds so that you can get the adult voice that you need and that your children need. Now, hold on. We'll get that for you. We're going to help you with that. And then I'm going to send you How We Love Our Kids by Mylon and Kay. And I'm going to send you How We Love. I hope both of those are going to be helpful to you. And I'm also going to give you a subscription to tv.newlife.com. It is a powerhouse of wisdom and knowledge that you can apply to any situation. It's all right there. You can find out about it at tv.newlife.com.
One show, Steve, I'd recommend on TV.NewLife would be the One Down Trauma Trap that I did. If anybody's listening today and they can relate to her, watch that show, and I'd like to have her watch it as well.
All right. One Down
Trauma Trap. It's on subjugation,
trap.
On when we're...
When we're in the down position permanently in a relationship, it just traps us into this place of being the victim.
Yeah. It's not healthy. It's not even biblical. Yeah. Right? No. So.
Yeah, that's right. All right. Well, let's go to Mary. Let's talk with Mary. Mary is calling us, I believe, from Colorado Springs. Is that right?
Yes, it is. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How can we help you today, Mary?
Well, I don't know where to start, but right now I have an adult son who's like 47 who is an alcoholic after his dad's footsteps.
Okay. Did his father die of alcoholism?
Well, yes.
Uh-huh.
And then I lost another son to alcohol.
Wow. Mm. Wow.
Very painful.
Very painful. So I don't know what to do for this son. I can't stand to see him the way he is.
Yeah. Now have you helped him financially? Does he live with you? What's the status there?
No, he lives in Dallas, and I have talked to him about going to Every Man's Battle before.
Mm-hmm.
And
what does he say to that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, he said he would call you and make a reservation, but he didn't do it.
And you say that he is an alcoholic like his father was.
Yes.
Okay. Have you ever looked into what treatment might be available for him and suggest he start there?
No, I haven't. I haven't.
And is he married now? Is he married?
Yes, he's married. He's married to a wonderful lady who's just put up with his drinking, and she just loves him talks to him, but prays for him.
Okay.
But that's all we have done.
Okay. Well, the first thing is you would be encouraging her to get involved in some help for herself, right?
Yes.
Because this is damaging everything and everybody around him. So I wouldn't be so focused on the pornography as I would be the alcoholism. I wouldn't be so focused on him first as I would be encouraging her. If you were able to go to some meetings with her and get her involved in getting herself well. Sherry, what are you thinking about? I'm thinking of this woman there that lives with this man that
here
the mother-in-law says, wonderful woman.
Well, you know what? When she said that, When you said wonderful woman, Mary, this is what went through my mind, is you are a wonderful woman too. And a lot of wonderful women don't get into Al-Anon, which is the other side of addiction. It's somebody, it's the group that meets that can be an encouraging, confrontive resource for you to help try to save this son. And if we don't go to Al-Anon, then people die. It's that clear. So I would love to have you get into Al-Anon today and have your daughter-in-law.
We'll be back. Hi, this is Steve Arterburn from New Life Live, and I can't tell you how excited we are about New Life Television. It's an internet television channel at tv.newlife.com. Check it out. You'll see that there's exclusive content that we really don't have time to get into here on our radio program. We go down deep and we try to provide you the foundations of the stuff that we know and the stuff that we like to share with you. There's a day on biblical integration, in the news, life recovery, and it's only $9.95 a month, and that supports this ministry. It's an in-depth attempt to connect with you deeper and provide you with a stronger foundation of biblical wisdom from God's Word. Check it out, tv.newlife.com. tv.newlife.com.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
My relationships with my husband, with my friends, with my family are much richer and deeper and honest particularly my relationship with God. I see him in a more accurate form and begin to trust him more. There's joy and there's peace because I have the internal tools that I can trust. So it's radically changed my life. I'm just not even the same person.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
Take the leap, jump in, and go for it. It's changed my life completely.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Okay, so we have this
situation
mom,
with two wonderful women.
47-year-old son. And so any other insight we want to give to her other than get some help for herself, get some help for the...
Yeah, it's a really powerless feeling to not know what to do. We often feel helpless in the disease of addiction, alcohol addiction. And so the family can feel powerless. But making a step into an Al-Anon group, Mary, is your first step and your daughter-in-law's first step to start getting this thing turned around. Mylan, any thoughts?
Well, Mary, part of the grief that you've been through and the just powerful, powerful losses that you've experienced with your husband and a son, it can put you into a state of paralysis where you don't want to move at all. You know, if I don't move, nothing bad will happen. And so what both Steve and Sherry are encouraging you to do is to start making some positive moves. I would say that for you, and I'll just reiterate, you and your daughter go to Al-Anon. I think your daughter also needs to encourage him to get into AA, but also to EMB. And maybe one of those, like you're asking, every man's battle, maybe one of those he would have a tendency to want to go to first, because I guarantee you, at EMB, he will be addressing the concept of addictions and what they do. So it would be a good environment as well if he went in that direction. So I would just be pushing in all directions to get him into a recovery program. And whichever one he steps into first, I would continue to encourage the second as well.
Well, and you know what? I just had a thought. Mary, if you would like to send your daughter-in-law to our Women in the Battle Conference, I guarantee you I will help to shore her up. I would love to empower her and love to have her sit with our women so that she can see a path out of this.
Okay.
So put her on a plane, girl. Send her here to California, and we'll take good care of her.
Well, the thing that really does need to happen is somebody needs to start getting some help. She needs to start getting some help, and that's going to change the dynamic there. I will send you a copy of, let me send you Every Woman's Battle to give to her. I will send you How We Love to give to her also.
Or Worthy of a Trust, rather than Every Woman's Battle might be a better one, Steve.
Okay.
Worthy of a Trust, because she'll probably like that. She'll know what to have her husband do, right?
All right, we'll do that. Okay, if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you could help us, we need your help. We really do need your help. We have been just kind of left hanging here in February. Sometimes it happens after people give at the end of the year. So we need some people that didn't give at the end of the year to come through and help us out. If you can, I will be more than happy to send you this new little book, The Freedom of Forgiveness. It's really great. That'll be our gift to you for a gift of any amount. And then, don't forget, I'll be preaching this weekend, and then we're coming over there, and we're going to be doing that Women in the Battle Workshop on the 4th. Mylan's going to be in Clayton. Where is Clayton? Is that in California, Mylan? Do you know? On the 10th of March? Well, anyway, if you live in a state with a city named Clayton,
isn't it Ohio?
He might be there. I'm not sure.
I think there is a typo on that. I think that is March of 2017. Okay. Actually, it's a year from now.
Sign up now. It fills up quickly. Let's go to Joe.
I don't know how that happened.
Let's go to Joe in Austin, Texas. Joe, how are you today? How could we help? Joe,
Hi
are you
there? Yes, huh? I'm needing some direction on how to proceed in a relationship. It's not a marriage. We're dating.
Okay.
And she knows the Lord. I know the Lord. We've both been Christians a long time.
Okay.
And the first 3 years we dated, I was not aware of, I call it an issue. I found out that she has an entire storage room, a large storage room, completely filled with boxes of stuff that's been there 10 years.
Really?
And then in
okay.
her... Yeah, and in her house, that's in her condo, then in her house, she has another room filled like that.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And I believe in the honesty is what creates a good relationship, a good life,
sure,
good marriage.
Right.
I know that for me, she has so many other good qualities, I wanted to work through it. Yet when we approached the thing and tried to get rid of the stuff, some real insignificant things were done, and that was it. It wasn't, let's deal with this and get it done.
Yeah, okay.
So, I'm in AA, been in there over 10 years.
Super.
Have a sponsor.
Yeah.
Work the steps, have sponsees, enjoying life.
Okay.
And I just, you know what, how do you proceed in a relationship? I mean, I've decided that it's not going any further, personally. Not that
okay. You know, well, look. Let's look at this.
It's honest.
Let's look at it from a standpoint of what if you met somebody with your experience in AA and they were a heroin addict that was shooting up 20 times a day, and you said, "Hey, I'd like to be your friend, but hey, why don't you just stop shooting up?" I mean, the person would be so addicted to it, not likely they'd be able to just make a little choice there to stop. You get what I'm saying?
That'd be a no-brainer.
Yeah, you'd have to help them go through withdrawal and all that kind of stuff. And what you're dealing with here is something that is as significant as a heroin addiction. You know, the hoarding, especially organized hoarding like this, that she's really attached to, not necessarily the stuff. I mean, she's convinced she is, but she's really attached to that part of her life. So I don't think that just saying, hey, let's just stop this, that's going to get much of a result for you.
So are you calling because you feel guilty stepping?
Is that strong of an addiction like you're talking about with heroin? Yeah. But I hear what you're saying now.
Yeah. There's a Hoarders Anonymous group, Joe. And so what are you looking more to know how to walk away? Because you said you're not moving forward, which I think is a great idea. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of relieved. I was like, Joe, there is not enough room for both of you and her stuff. So I'm pleased that you're stepping back from that relationship. But, you know, hopefully you can encourage her to get into a Hoarders Anonymous group and start working her recovery steps.
Now, I do want to say this, that most people that get married are hoarders. They hoard resentments, unrealistic expectations. It's just that the boxes those are in are invisible. But her boxes are quite visible. So in one way, you're kind of fortunate that you know what you're dealing with there. But I'd really want to find out, too, where did all this start? What was the injury? What was that, that gash in her soul that led her to that place? That's what I'd want to be doing. Out of compassion for her. Hey, listen, I'm going to send you a Life Recovery Bible, and I'm going to hope that something that we've said would encourage you to encourage her to get the help that digs down deep underneath the surface and finds out what's fueling something that just doesn't make sense other than it's a way that she's treating her wound. We're really glad that all of you who listen and watch do. Please help us if you can. We're in some little bit of a difficulty right now, and it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE or newlife.com. You can be part of Club New Life for $20.16 here in 2016. We really need your help. And if you want us to be able to continue to do this on the station you're listening to, it's very expensive for us to be on the radio. So please help us, if at all possible. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, newlife.com. Go to the website, newlife.com. You can find out about all that we do. Or tv.newlife.com is a great resource for anything. Thank you, Mylon. Thank you, Sherry. We'll see you next time right here on New Life Live.
We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using Stitcher, the smart radio app. Visit newlife.com/Stitcher to download the app today.